Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Lord Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you wish to watch us on the Twitch channel, make comments there, you can do that. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch. Boom. Done. Comment away. Happy to have you. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff. What's happening with you, man?
Although I go to this and it says offline on the...
Give it a second. Just reboot it.
Oh.
Are we offline? I hope not. We really need to get ourselves back up on the TV in here. We've got two TVs. They're both blank.
Yeah.
Well, the one TV that actually has the cable box connected to it makes a weird high-pitched screech when you turn it on.
Huh.
Even if you have it turned down all the way, there's some weird noise that's coming through the actual speakers.
That's weird.
Because I tried to turn it on for Moneyline a couple weeks ago so they could watch Bundesliga soccer, and It just made this weird, weird noise that I don't know if you can pick it up from the mics, but it's got to be annoying to be sitting in there.
Okay.
The other one, I'll see if I can figure out during the break on how to turn it on.
Okay.
I've never seen a power button on it. It might be hidden behind it.
Maybe we just need to trade the two TVs and switch them out. And then, or switch the way that they're hooked up. I don't know. But something's got to give. Something's got to give. What's going on with you, Freddy the Beetle?
Not much. A lot of work today. Just trying to get caught up on some things. And
it's one of those things we do, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Had to write a column for Thursday, which is in there, on Deshaun Watson's latest contract thing.
Okay.
And,
What is Deshaun's latest contract thing?
He looks like he wants a 3-year extension.
Okay.
Which would basically put him under contract for 5 more years, which I think is a good compromise. I've been of the opinion, dude, let him play it out this year. He's going to get paid anyway. If you're the Texans, let's see what the cap looks like. Let's see if he can take that next step and truly become elite. And you know, but they are determined to get something done. So basically, it'll be very similar to the Tunsil deal, where you will hear some ridiculous average per year, but the contract will never have a year that's that much money. Like, say it's 35 a year.
Okay.
Because he'll get $10 million more this year, and then he'll get maybe $10 million more that he was scheduled to make next year, and that'll figure into the average of that deal. But I think it's a good compromise because I think he's your guy. Pretty sure he's your guy. And if you want to keep him under team control, you could do it for 7 years now because you could franchise him twice. If you decide in year 4 that this may not be working out, then you can eject without having to pay, $35 million the last year. So it makes a lot of sense from a – and again, I don't know that number's $35 million. I'm just throwing that out there because I don't know.
Right. I will say, I'm with you. I like to believe that he is the guy, but I also I've said this before, I'm not paying him like he's Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes until he proves that he is. And because I don't think you'll be able to build a team around him once you pay that. So when you're talking about $35 million average, I'm instantly turned off,
But I mean, that's going to be the going rate. If Dak's getting 31 for his franchise tag, that's pretty much what it's going to average out to.
What's the difference really between Deshaun and Dak so far?
I can trust Deshaun to go out and win me a game. I can't trust Dak to do that. And to me, that's an important quality in a quarterback. I know Dak can hand off. I know Dak can throw the ball in the first 3 quarters, but if in the fourth quarter, if I give him the ball on the 20-yard line down 6, pretty sure he's not going to get it done.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with that. I will say that if you look at their records over their careers, Dak Prescott is 40-24 as a starter. I mean, that seems like he can go out and win some games for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, he can. I'm not disputing that. But if you told me I put Deshaun Watson on the Cowboys tomorrow, I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and I don't know that they are with Dak unless he improves.
Okay, but if you pay Deshaun, you're not putting him on the Cowboys.
No,
he's still on the Texans.
But guess what? Dak's getting paid too. They said he's getting $31 million this year. What's your point?
Well, you're talking about paying Deshaun more than that.
Well, Dak's going to get more than that too eventually. This is a franchise tag. And it's not that much more when you start talking about $4 million in the term of a contract. And again, it's like those of you who overreacted to the Tunsil deal. When you go and look at how it's broken down, there's only 2 years where that thing's overpaying. And this will be the same thing. So, because he's worth more than $4.8 million, which is what he's
making. Of course he is worth more than what he's making now.
And realistically...
But is he worth more than Russell Wilson, which is basically what he's asking for?
No, but we have the same conversation every time somebody gets a new contract. He's not worth more than Patrick Mahomes. That's a guy who's up at the same time. And that's your comp. Because Russell signed that deal,
That's not your comp.
Sure it is.
Because Deshaun Watson's done nothing to show that he deserves to be comped.
Well, that's my point, is that he's
Dak
not...
Dak Prescott is his comp.
Maybe. I mean, I think that's close, yeah.
I mean, that's much closer than Russell Wilson
or
Patrick Mahomes.
I'm talking about to compare the contracts. I'm not saying he should get what Patrick Mahomes does. You're not paying any attention to me over here. You're just yelling. Patrick Mahomes is going to get the best deal. He should get the best deal. His contract's coming up at the same time. Deshaun should make less than him. That's who you should be comparing him to, not Russell Wilson, is my point, because their contracts are coming up at the same time. But no, he shouldn't make anywhere near what Patrick Mahomes makes.
Yeah, I see. I guess, I mean, I get that their contracts are coming up at the same time, but you're talking about paying him, even if you are comparing him to Russell Wilson, you're paying him more than Russell Wilson, who is a
Russell's average is about 35. That's why I threw that number out there.
A proven winner already.
He's
won a Super Bowl, and he's just a better football player than Deshaun.
I agree with that.
So why it makes sense to pay Deshaun the same way Russell Wilson is paid is beyond me, because they're not the same guy.
They're not. You hope Watson becomes him. I don't think the gap's that huge.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Listen, you're talking about a Russell Wilson that won a Super Bowl when he had a talented team around him. They haven't been able to win without all that.
And will it get easier for Deshaun to win once he gets that money?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
But that doesn't matter. I mean, when I think we get to overreact to these numbers. To me, when Patrick Mahomes gets his deal, it needs to be significantly more than any of these guys, including Watson, including Wilson. But if you're going to pay Dak 35, I think you pay Deshaun 35. That's just the new number. That's the new figure. That's fine. If you structure it right, it's not $35 million a year. That's what a lot of you guys don't get. I still hear everybody talking about, Laramie Tunsil, $22 million a year. It's not really that. Go look at the contract and how it's actually broken down. You can get out of that last year if you want to. Obviously, you don't want to unless he just gets fat and lazy and stupid. But the same thing with Watson. If you pay him that, you're not paying him 35 a year. You're paying him 15 this year. You're paying him 25 next year. You're paying him 31 the year after that, which is what Dak's getting this year.
Are you ever going to – I mean, are you going to cut Deshaun Watson before the last year of his deal?
Ideally, no. But what if he goes Cam Newton on you and gets hurt? That's why I kind of like the whole three-year thing, because – you can get out of that year five. You'd have him for four more years. If you can't do something in 4 years with a guy, it's not going to happen here, in my opinion. And it may not because of his coach. I mean, he's got a gigantic anchor sitting around him right now in Bill O'Brien. And, you know, this way, if you get to the last year of that deal and he's breaking all the time, which could happen. I mean, the guy takes a beating.
Yeah.
It's much we talk about Lamar Jackson's going to get beat up at some point. And we're going to be surprised if Deshaun doesn't get decapitated. I mean, he's taken some. What about that shot that he took against the Cowboys? He had to take a bus to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And you know, he took a bunch of big ones last year. He's a tough guy, but you can only handle so many. But yeah, I think, and you also have to consider the cap's going up from where, well, it was going up. Now it may be different. That's why I'm saying wait. I've been saying that ever since this happened.
Like, honestly,
I let him play it out this year.
I let him play it out this year, and then I probably franchise him and figure it out.
But you don't have to franchise him.
You've got this year and next year.
Yes.
And then if he still hasn't won, franchise him. Don't start extending the guy until you see what you can do with him making a bunch of money. And if you franchise him for a year and the team is significantly worse because there's not enough payroll around him, that should let you know what your future is with the guy.
Yeah, but again, that's...
And I think the Cowboys are going to learn that same thing this year.
Well, I think they will, because although they've still got a better roster. Like if you ask me who has the best roster of these two teams, with the exception of one position, now it would have been two positions until you traded Hopkins, with the exception of one position, I think the Cowboys are better across the board. Better running back. Receivers are comparable. I would take the Cowboys, but I also think CeeDee Lamb's going to be fantastic. Offensive
well,
line
I mean, Amari
better.
Cooper's better than anybody who's here, too.
Yeah, although I don't think he's like DeAndre Hopkins type of
No,
league.
But
he's a very good receiver.
He's just better than anybody the Texans have now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's, again, I don't think it's a huge gap, but I think he's better. And I think with Gallup, too, they've got some guys. So yeah. I'd rather have their receivers. I'd rather have their running back. I'd rather have their offensive line. I'd rather have their defense. And, you know, that, now how long can you keep that going?
That's the thing.
We learned that from Seattle, and we learned that from the Rams. Is that Seattle could not keep it going because they had to pay all these guys. And it wasn't just Russell Wilson. It was Richard Sherman in the fifth round.
Yes.
They had a bunch of third, fourth, fifth round picks that became superstars. Suddenly you're having to pay them $10, $15 million a year for all of them.
Oh, it happened to the Ravens too.
Yeah,
The Ravens paid Joe Flacco. It was like, oh boy, now you can't approach everything the same way. You can't pay your defensive guys the way you can't pay them like they're the top guys in the league, even when they are.
You have to pick and choose. You can keep some of them.
Yep.
You can't keep them all. But to me, I think this is a decent enough compromise if you want to keep the guy long term, which I think you do.
I just think that the lazy thing to do is say, and like I said, like we heard on Late Hits, you just paid Deshaun Watson whatever he wants. That no. I don't.
No, I never said that. I gave you a number that I think is going to be what the market dictates and I think would be a fair deal. If he's wanting more than that, sorry, bud. Just play it out this
year. Yeah, you're going to play.
And I think it all is going to come down to what Dakota gets if they get a deal done before the 15th. Because he signed his franchise tag, so he's going to make 31 this year. And if they do a long-term deal where he's making more than that, then I think Watson's going to look at that and say, I want more than this guy, just like Patrick Mahomes is going to look and say, I deserve more than Watson. And that's...
You know what would change that? If Dak has big success this year and Deshaun does the same old thing he's been doing.
And that... But by then, you might have both of them already have their contracts. And that would be... To me, that's why you wait.
I think the Cowboys are doing the smart thing. I don't think the Cowboys are in a rush.
I don't either, but I think they're trying... I know they're negotiating. They're trying to get something done long term. But if it's... To me, if I'm them, I say, all right, hey, play at 31. We'll talk next year. That's pretty good money for a quarterback.
I think we'll talk about it on the other side, but I think that a lot of teams are making the same mistake when it comes to quarterbacks right now. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break.
All right, and somebody asking, can't Deshaun hold out if he's not happy? They've kind of changed the rules to where it's really hard to
hold out.
You
can't hold out.
Yeah, which is why the whole Hopkins might hold out thing was just dumb. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 409 says, I'm glad it's Tuesday because we're already getting the Tuesday textures. So for years you put Jason Garrett in the same boat as Bill O'Brien, but now that Garrett is gone, Deshaun is way better because he has to overcome O'Brien. Keep crawfishing, Fred. I've been consistent all along that Deshaun Watson is better than Dak Prescott. Sorry. You can go back and listen to every show you ever want to listen to. There's no crawfishing there. Now, I like what the Cowboys did by going out and getting rid of Jason Garrett and bringing in a guy who might get more out of Dak. And if he does, and if Dak can take it to the next level and be a clutch fourth quarter quarterback, which he's not, then guess what? I think they're a Super Bowl contender. I've said that all along. There's nothing changing that. There's nothing in my mind that says... There's nothing I've said today that changes any of that. So I don't know how that's crawfishing, 409. Maybe you've never listened to the show before, but you said for years you put Jason Garrett in the same boat as Bill O'Brien. They were the same guy. Same guy, mediocre coaches. Not bad, not great. Very mediocre. And I think The one thing I would have hope for if I'm a Cowboy fan is maybe the new guy can get a little bit more out of Prescott. And if he can, you got a really good team there, in my opinion.
I think the mistake people are making with guys like Dak and Deshaun, I'm trying to think of who are some other, Carson Wentz. These are good quarterbacks that, because the position isn't as deep as it once was, we get tricked into thinking that they are top-level quarterbacks. Like, if you go back to 2012, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Tony Romo, those guys, the numbers that they were all putting up, about a five-year window there, you can go one side or the other, there was just a lot of really great quarterback play in the league.
I wouldn't say there's a lot. There was a top level of guys that were clearly better than what
okay.
was, yeah.
There's a lot more than there is now.
Right.
Now, there. I mean, is Drew Brees still good? Yes. Do we know how much longer he's going to be good for? I don't think anybody knows.
He's not really elite anymore.
I'm almost 100% sure Tom Brady is no longer elite. I'm not of the belief that Aaron Rodgers is still elite. You know who I think the elite quarterbacks in the NFL are? Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, end list.
Lamar Jackson was pretty damn good last year.
We've seen one great year.
Yeah.
Does he have a chance to be? Absolutely. And if we've never seen a year like that out of Dak or Deshaun Watson.
Nope.
And if we had, I'd be like, well, maybe so.
But see, here's the difference between some of those guys. Carson Wentz had a year like that before he got hurt the Super Bowl year. He hasn't repeated it, but he had one year like that. Jared Goff had an amazing year when he was surrounded by a lot more talent.
Yep.
Derek Carr had a damn near MVP year the year he got hurt. All those guys had that kind of season. Deshaun hasn't done that yet. Neither's Dak. And I don't know that...
Much less string a couple of them together where you can say, right. Okay, this guy's legit now.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Jared Goff did have a great season. Does anybody think Jared Goff's a top five quarterback in the league? No, because he's yet to repeat that.
Right.
And Carson Wentz, same boat. But Carson Wentz, we're almost... You're almost stuck saying Carson Wentz is great because there's just not enough great quarterbacks in the league to argue it.
I think there's great, and then there's guys that have the potential to be great that have shown flashes that haven't been consistent enough. And I think Wentz is in that group. I think Watson's in that group. And are they ever going to be Peyton Manning? No. Now I think Lamar Jackson is kind of a wild card here. Because if he can do what he did last year on a consistent basis, which I think he can. The only thing that worries me about him, of course, he has a better coaching staff around him than almost all these guys. But if he can do that again, then, yeah, he's definitely in that conversation. You don't win an MVP by accident.
No, and I would take Lamar over. I mean, if I had to say who's the third guy, it's Lamar Jackson. I still think Lamar Jackson is a step behind Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of that has to do with, yeah, that MVP trophy's cool. Those other guys have a different trophy that's cooler.
Yeah.
But I would put Lamar next in line in that group. But I think the gap between those guys and the guys like Dak and Deshaun and Carson Wentz, to me, it's a pretty big gap. And because we look at them and say, well, Deshaun's a top – there's some people who will say top five. I think he's a solid top 10.
If he's top five, it's the back end of the top five.
Right.
It's fifth, I think.
But
maybe.
But if he is, it's easy to say he's a top five quarterback. But like I said, in 2012, when it was Peyton, Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, like to say top five quarterback meant that all five of those guys were pretty close and they were all basically elite. Right now, saying top five. It isn't all that impressive because it's really the top three and then a bunch of other dudes.
Well, beyond that, it's really the top one right now. Patrick Mahomes is clearly the best of all of those.
I mean, I think Russell Wilson is closer to Patrick Mahomes than he is to Lamar Jackson.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think, but especially in such a short career, to have an MVP with 50 touchdown passes, to win a Super Bowl, to be a Super Bowl MVP.
And I also think there's a lot of, there's the coach factor. He's got perfect situation.
That's what I was going to say.
And he hasn't.
The three guys you're mentioning all have the three best coaches other than Belichick.
Now let's talk about this. 2013 Russell Wilson is sort of in the same boat that Patrick Mahomes is now, because Patrick Mahomes still has all the talent around him because he hasn't gotten the big payday.
And Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson too. So Russell Wilson doesn't have that anymore, and he hasn't had the same recent results, so maybe it's easy to forget how great he is. But what I would put out there is, with the exception of Mahomes and Russ and maybe Lamar, any other quarterback that you want to say is a top five, whoever you think is the fourth best guy, is a lot closer to the 10th or 12th best quarterback in the league than they are to the first.
I think that's fair.
Because after that top group, basically everybody's just the same. So to say, well, who's better than Deshaun or who's better than Dak? Who can they go out there and get? I don't know. But right now, the way it looks, if you don't have one of those guys, boy, it's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle. And like I said, would it shock me if Drew Brees has one more Super Bowl run in him? No. Would it shock me if Aaron Rodgers makes another Super Bowl run? It wouldn't. But it really seems like the future of these quarterbacks, like the future of the league at quarterback, is there's the haves and then there's kind of everybody else. And unfortunately, the haves group is about three or four teams. And everybody else is like, well, we've got the best guy who's not one of those. But I don't know how different that is than having the 10th best guy. I really don't. I don't know if Deshaun Watson, I think, is good. How much better is Deshaun Watson than Matt Ryan? Is he?
I don't know that he is better right now.
I don't either. Yeah. And everyone says, well, he's going to be. Well, Matt Ryan won an MVP. Matt Ryan's been to a Super Bowl. And you can say, well, if Bill O'Brien won around, hey, where's Dan Quinn these days? Okay? Sometimes, like, being a great quarterback means you overcome coaching. And I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, I think, like I said, I think Deshaun has a lot of potential. Am I certain that he's the future? No, I'm not. And I think if you believe that, you're a sucker, because he's really not shown that yet.
He showed six games his rookie year before he got hurt, and then teams adjusted.
But I mean, yeah, you're talking three years ago now.
Exactly. Listen, I think he can be that, and I think he could be Russell Wilson. He could also become Derek Carr. And then, are you unhappy with that? I don't know. I think Derek Carr is better than a lot of people do.
I do too.
But would you be okay with that? I would. But yeah, I think.
But would you be okay with that if he's getting paid like a top five quarterback in the league?
No, remember when Andy Dalton was getting paid like a top five quarterback?
And guys are going to get paid. Look how stupid the Bengals feel now.
The guys are going to get paid like top five quarterbacks that aren't Patrick Mahomes, because there's got to be a top five, right?
Yeah.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Back on the road, where to next on this Sunday afternoon? It's looking like it's gonna rain soon, so I'ma hit the highway and glide at a cool 55 with nothing on my mind but the blessings of life.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. I love it when people like Steven tweets at me and says, most game-winning drives since 2016. Dak Prescott, 13. Matthew Stafford, 13. Drew Brees, 11. Derek Carr, 11. Well, right, let me give you a stat, Steven, since you're so big on quote-tweeting somebody. According to Elias Sports, Dak Prescott was just the second quarterback in the last 15 years to throw for 30 touchdowns with zero game-winning drives last year. The other was Kirk Cousins with the Vikings in 2018. That's from Elias Sports and ESPN Stats and Info, not some blue checkmark guy I've never heard of. So sorry if that maybe last year he didn't do any of them. How about
that? Also, how about maybe don't live your life in a hole? How many game-winning drives did Patrick Mahomes have to manufacture? Hardly any, because he rolled over your ass in the first half.
Yeah, that's the thing. He didn't have to. And yeah, you know, listen, I'm hoping that the coaching change will get more out of him, because that's one thing Aaron Rodgers was always great at. Now, maybe that's because it's Aaron Rodgers. Maybe the coaching had a little bit to do with it. But in every one of these instances of guys you mentioned, coaching is important. It is. Patrick Mahomes would not be Patrick Mahomes if he didn't have Andy Reid.
He'd be good.
He'd be in that group we're talking about with Matt Ryan and those other guys. But he wouldn't be what he is.
Well, there are guys he could... I mean, if Patrick Mahomes was with Sean Payton, I think he had the potential.
He'd be fine.
Like, if he were Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, I think that he'd still be similar to what he is. But I do think he's with one of the handful of elite offensive coaches that are getting the max out of him.
And how many great offensive coaches are there?
Maybe six.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see what Joe Brady can do at the pro level.
Again,
that I'm intrigued by that. But you know, as far as great offensive minds go, there's Peyton, there's Reed. And I guess you have to throw Belichick in there because he's great at everything. But, you know, and Harbaugh's done a really good job. But it's a pretty small group. Obviously, McVay, and you're trying to, and everybody's trying to copy those guys. They're trying to get those guys. Like hiring Matt Nagy.
You want to be the next Shanahan. You want to be the next,
McVay. I think Kyle Shanahan's definitely on that list. And that's the thing. And somebody mentioned this on the text line. How great has Matt Ryan been without Kyle Shanahan? He's never matched that season.
Nope.
But he's been good. He's been really good. He just hasn't been MVP.
Bernardo says, you have so much praise for a guy who's not won an MVP and was not a Super Bowl MVP either in Wilson. Is somehow that the Super Bowl MVP, he did what he had to do to win the game. I mean, it's not like Russell Wilson has not performed in the playoffs. I don't care if he's got a Super Bowl MVP, if he played great for one game. Russell Wilson has been in the league since 2012. He's missed the playoffs one time. One time he went 9-7. One time. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson threw 12 interceptions last season. Russell Wilson's never thrown that many in his career in a season. You can say what you want about MVP or Super Bowl MVP. And you can ask Fred this, because I did not believe it, and I didn't believe Russell Wilson was going to be what he is. I've got egg on my face because Russell Wilson has developed into, I think, a slam dunk second best quarterback in the league. And before Patrick Mahomes showed up, I think he was the best quarterback in the league. So if your knock on Russell Wilson is he hasn't won an MVP or a Super Bowl MVP, I don't think the Seahawks care. They've won a Super Bowl with him. They should have won a second Super Bowl with him. I think they're pretty happy. And the fact that they paid Russell Wilson and they're still competing the way they are, they were 11-5 last year. You know how many teams are paying their quarterbacks what Russell Wilson's making and still going 11-5? Not many. Because Russell Wilson's one of the few guys who looks like he can still carry a team when he's taking up a pretty big chunk of the salary cap.
And realistically, if you look at these Seahawks teams since the Super Bowl teams, he doesn't have very much talent around him. I might argue that Watson has more talent around him.
I probably would.
And he's managed to create a lot with nothing. And you know, and part of it maybe...
His best receiver the last 5 years has been Doug Baldwin. I mean, that should tell you something right there.
And you know, every running back breaks down. You know, he hasn't had consistency back there. And the offensive line, much like the Texans, has been a mess for the most part.
And here's the other great thing about Russ. He's out there every single game. I don't know for a fact. I don't think he's missed a game in his career. I think he's played every game in his career. That's with a guy that size, would you agree even that if you had a concern about Russ coming in, it was that mobile quarterback, not very big, worry about his durability a little. You haven't had to worry about it. He's passed that test.
Well, and I'm not sold on Deshaun with that either.
Well, because Deshaun hasn't passed that test.
And he has not missed one game.
Not missed one game in his career. That's unbelievable.
From 2012 till 2019.
And for a dude who's like 5'1". I mean, that's...
Stop. He's not Kyler Murray. Cut that out. Jeez. But it's funny to me because, yeah, I always like Russell Wilson, but one of the things we always talk about, and to quote Polillo, attendance is part of the grade. The guys who show up every game, every year, are the ones who wind up being elite. How often did Peyton Manning miss games? How often
he
has Brady
one season?
How often has Brady missed games? Yeah, until that injury, I mean, he was there every single. And that's how you put up big numbers. That's how you're consistent. Drew Brees doesn't miss very many games. He did a couple last year. And when you're that good, if you're there, you're going to put up numbers.
Rod says Russell Wilson can never get out to big leads. He's clutch, but always plays close games. That's a fact, but that also has a lot to do with what's around him.
That's also how Pete Carroll coaches. That's
also a team that likes to run the ball more than they like to throw the ball.
But that's been Pete Carroll's MO since they won their first Super Bowls. He likes to try to keep the game close and win it late.
He lives on running the ball and defense, and he just has a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes.
It's all a gamble, you dopes. Andrew Luck was better than Flacco, but the latter got a ring. You roll the dice when it's time and live with the result. Wilson deserved his money, but they paid him after his prime. His subprime is very good.
They paid dopes. Him after his prime?
By the
prime?
Way, where dopes come from? Are we really that childish today? Okay, if we're dopes, you know what you are? Australian word. Thank you. Go ahead.
How did they pay him after his prime? Russell Wilson's 31.
He's in his
Russell
prime
Wilson's
right now.
In his prime.
I would like...
Dope?
Yeah, no. You call me dope, I raise you Australian word. 936, Wilson lost to Prescott 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Oh.
Okay, then. Oh. Then, all right, yep, you know what? He's better than. Where's Dak's Super Bowl trophy? I'm missing that one.
You think that haunts Russell Wilson at night, that Dakota Prescott beat him in a game one time? I think he's okay.
So if Patrick Mahomes is 24, when does his prime end? Next year? 25?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's got one more good year, and then they're going to pay him past his prime.
Then he's like over the.
I'll tell you what.
What about Russell Wilson is showing decline?
But the one thing I'll say about Patrick Mahomes, if he doesn't ditch that girlfriend, his career is going to hell. You watch.
Yeah.
That thing is a mess.
And you can say like he lost to Dak. That's like saying Deshaun lost to Andrew Luck, even though Deshaun lost to Deshaun in that playoff game. Deshaun lost to the Colts defense, which wasn't even all that great.
No.
And Andrew Luck was just able to hand the ball off a million times. Deshaun lost to himself. I mean, so this guy beat this guy in the playoffs. That doesn't determine who a better quarterback is. If you think Dak Prescott's better than Russell Wilson because they played one game and Dak's team won, then
you're a 936.
Yeah, you're living on the moon. And you're living on the moon.
Look at the big picture. How many times has Dak made the playoffs versus how many times Russell's made the playoffs?
Right.
So, yeah, somebody brings up Wilson has 66 touchdowns and 12 interceptions over the last 2 years. Tough to say he's past his prime.
And guess what else happened? That same year that Dak lost to Russell Wilson in the playoffs, Lamar Jackson lost to Phillip Rivers. Which guy do you want?
Ryan Tannehill. He lost to Ryan Tannehill.
I think he lost to Phillip Rivers.
You're talking about 2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, 2 years
last
ago.
Last year he lost to Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Chargers. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Lamar Jackson's playoff resume is lost to Phillip Rivers, lost to Ryan Tannehill. I'll still take Lamar Jackson over both those guys.
And somebody says Russell Wilson's contract was perfectly timed and he's in his prime now. GM has slipped since the Super Bowl. That's the big problem is they have not drafted as well. They haven't signed as well. But
guess what?
They still win games.
They're still competing year in and year out. Not many teams who are paying their quarterback 15% of the salary cap are as competitive as the Seahawks.
Drew Brees lost to Cousins.
Well, there you go.
Was it Cousins? Yeah, he lost to Cousins this year and Keenum the year before. Okay, so Case Keenum better than Drew Brees because somebody wasn't covering a damn receiver. That's a game they never should have lost. Oh man, says hey, not all 936 are dumbs, lol, from 1936. I know that it's just that particular one
he's saying that one is
so I don't know, it's just Tuesday. It's why are we talking so much damn sports
match games? Come on, it's fun.
Dustin, who's the biggest Cowboys fan there is. I mean, he has a star tattooed on his butt. Says, I'm a biggest Cowboys fan as there is. No way Dakota's better than Wilson. I guarantee you if the Seahawks decided, hey, we're going to trade Russell Wilson and the Cowboys could find somebody who would take Dakota and get Russell Wilson, they'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That team, to me, would be the favorite to come out of the NFC. And they may still be. I'm holding out hope. And this is just for Cowboys fan. The rest of you guys who hate the Cowboys don't have to listen. I'm holding out hope that McCarthy's going to improve that offense enough to make them a Super Bowl contender. Because I think the talent's there. I believe that. Just like I believe if a better coach came in here, if Jim Harbaugh were suddenly available and came in to coach the Texans, absolutely, I believe they could be a Super Bowl contender because he could improve the group that they have. But that's just me. Of course, now we've got area code war going on. 832, all 936 are dumb. No.
No. Your IQ is not judged by your area code. No.
281.
It's just luck of the draw what they give out.
281, Roethlisberger lost to Tebow.
That's true.
Yeah. Somebody said the refs beat Breeze to go on to that Super Bowl. You guys are never going to let that call go, are you? I don't blame you. That was bad. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It's a loving heart, man. She's waiting for the end.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713. Boy, we're just, the IQ level of text just go down and down and down. Hey guys, this is Q. Sorry to burst y'all's bubble, but I wouldn't pay Deshaun. I'd tank for Trevor or Fields. Yeah, you would if you had a first round pick. You can tank all you want. You're not getting either one of those guys.
Yeah, tanking not smart.
Come on,
season,
Q.
I must say.
Come on, guys. At least know what the hell you're talking about before you text.
Maybe please. you could trade Deshaun for your old first round pick and then tank.
Yeah, except then, how are you? I guess it'd be the only way you could do it.
Yeah, because then you won't have Deshaun to, you know, luck box you into a couple wins.
Mm.
Yeah, that's actually a smart plan. Little breaking NASCAR news. I know a lot of you listen to this show because we are what you would call at the forefront of all things NASCAR.
That's right. Boogity, boogity, boogity.
And the FBI has completed its investigation at Talladega and determined that Bubba Wallace was not the target of a hate crime. The FBI reports concludes and photo evidence confirms that the garage door pull rope, fashioned like a noose, had been positioned there since as early as last fall. This was obviously well before the 43 team's arrival and garage assignment. We appreciate the FBI's quick and thorough investigation and are thankful to learn that this was not an intentional racist act against Bubba. We remain steadfast in our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all who love racing. Now the question becomes, did NASCAR put him in that garage because it had the noose door pull?
I'm utterly confused by the whole thing.
Well,
so basically there was a rope there that's been there forever.
Since the fall.
And somebody just saw it on Sunday when they'd been there practicing already.
Yes.
Okay.
And said, what?
Yeah.
Those big, heavy garage doors, they all have some sort of rope, and you tie it either in a knot at the bottom, you tie it in a loop so you can stick your hand in there and pull it down, whatever.
Because if it's just a straight string, it's hard to...
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Interesting. So, the whole thing is just a misunderstanding?
It was a misunderstanding.
That's what we're going with?
That's what we're going with.
Oops.
Which I guess is better than there was a hate crime in NASCAR.
Right. Which, again, no one would be surprised by.
No.
But, yeah, that's kind of a tough one. Maybe you should have kind of kept all that under wraps until you knew what the hell was going on. I don't know. but very strange.
Yeah. I mean, and the guy on Bubba's team who found it probably feels pretty dumb right now for causing such a big fuss. That's
especially considering he's probably worked in NASCAR long enough to know that most of those doors have some type of rope handle to shut because they're heavy as hell.
I don't know what to think. It just strikes me as what the hell are we going to react to everything? Like now you can't have a rope on a door. Is that what the problem is? And this becomes a major national story all because some dude made a mistake.
I mean, I don't know what happens every time, but I think everybody's on high alert right now for sure.
No. Okay, so much ado about nothing.
Much ado about nothing. And baseball is apparently they are in talks now, and it looks like the season is going to happen. They are discussing safety protocols right now, and it doesn't appear that there's any snags. The union has already informed MLB that it plans to be in spring training camps by July 1st. So they are going to be in July 1st and start playing a 60-game season July 24th through the 26th. That's when the season will start up.
And that's assuming the players agree to the testing, right?
Well, I mean, I think that's part of what's still being discussed is, you know, safety protocol stuff. But I don't think it doesn't appear to be problematic.
I still have concerns that it actually gets pulled off, even though they have an agreement now. Because the first time you have a 5 or 6 person breakout on a team,
yeah,
are the rest of the players just going to say screw this? We're not making enough money. The good ones probably will. If I'm Justin Verlander, especially since I'm getting up there in age a little bit, do you think I'm going to go out there and say, you know what? I'm not worried about it. 8 other players have it. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Or I got my millions. I think I'll sit this one out till next year.
I mean, I like to think that he's going to play, but we've seen with the NBA, there's a lot of guys in the NBA who are like, you know, like Trevor Ariza, for example, is like, I'm going to hang out with my kid instead. I'm not going. But I think there are going to be, like, and now to be fair, Trevor Ariza, that you're talking about a guy who was probably, I mean, he's playing on a team that the likelihood that they were going to win anything is pretty low. Right now, I would say everybody's got a pretty good shot of winning this thing, especially with a shortened season. I don't think anybody wants to get out of there now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I don't know, man. I don't care if they're playing or not. I'm so sick of these guys, and they're bickering over money, and they're going back and forth and acting like, this is perfectly fine for us to rub everything in people's faces right now while the whole world's falling apart. So, you know what? Good. I'll be interested in what the Astros do. I hope they come back because I think this is the last year of their window. I've been saying that with this group. I think they should. I hope they do well, and I hope they win it. Otherwise, I could give a rat's ass about any other baseball.
I'm kind of in the same boat.
So, 713-780-ESPN. Somebody said, "Haha, I knew it. This story was BS." It seemed very strange.
I mean, Josh was saying that all along. You know, on the show before us, he said that basically what he talked about all day was, this is we don't, it's all too, there's not enough. We would have heard this by now. We would have heard that, like, because the way they made it sound, and these garages with all this, I mean, you're talking about how much money do you think is in one of those garages? Like, if you're talking about a NASCAR, like a race day car, and all the equipment they use to work on it, all their tools, what do you think the dollar value sitting inside that garage is? I mean, it's got to be in the 7 figures, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
at least close to that.
Yeah. You don't just leave that without cameras around. It doesn't happen. So, to me, I'm not, and I know there's, and it's already It's already trending on Twitter, Bubba Smollett, which I don't think it's that situation. I don't think Bubba did this to gain any attention.
It doesn't sound like he had anything to do with it.
But I just think that whoever on his team found it and reported it just was ignorant. And it's unfortunate. And I don't know if it looks bad for Bubba, but it looks bad for NASCAR that they made such a big deal out of this, or that maybe not even that they made such a big deal out of it, that such a big deal was made out of it. And yesterday, you can go back and listen to yesterday's program where we didn't mention the Bubba Wallace thing one time, because I looked over that story and I said, really, there's too many variables here for us to even discuss it because we have no idea what's going on. And sure enough, I'm glad we didn't waste a bunch of time on it yesterday, because it turns out that nothing was going on.
It's almost like it's smart and mature to wait to jump to conclusions until you have all the details of a story.
That seems wise, but Aaron, as you know, we are members of the media, and we don't like to do that. We like to sound alarms and get things going crazy.
Yeah, a NASCAR engine alone worth upwards of $100,000.
Okay.
God knows how many cars they can keep in that one garage.
I don't think there's as many as you think. I think there's like two and a bunch of parts, but I don't
that's
know.
Still $200,000.
Well,
I can't believe a NASCAR.
Just for engine.
That's just the engine. I mean, a NASCAR, a car has to be worth half a mil.
I'm guessing, yeah. You can look that up. I'm sure they'll tell us. 409 says, Fred, did you read my text from 15 minutes ago? NASCAR stood everything to gain from the attention. No, I didn't see your text because I get about
1,000. I don't know what they gained from that. Do you feel like NASCAR's in a better place today than they were yesterday? I don't. I mean, if they were looking for a pop, they got one day's worth of pop, and now people are like, well, that was stupid. Maybe that's what they wanted. I don't know. Brian says each car is about 750K. They have more than one car at each race. So it just between the cars, you're talking 1.5 million. And I'm guessing all their tools and stuff like that, that's probably, 150, 200K. There's a lot of money sitting around there. There's cameras. That's why yesterday I was like, I can't believe. And the FBI was investigating. I mean, it shouldn't have been much of a discussion. The way I picture security there, I pictured it being a pretty open and shut case.
713, why do you guys have an issue with the money the baseball players make? We don't. Or arguing during a pandemic. I have an issue with that. It says people suffer all the time and their salaries have always been high. There's a thing called tone deaf, 713, which clearly you are. And knowing when to leak stuff to the public to try to gain curry with the fans is a big part of it. And the fact that they did this, the Sunday after all the protests, they're leaking to The Athletic the latest proposal that's been rejected. And they're going back and forth trying to get your people like you to support them on whichever side you want. I heard Granato siding with the owners today. I guess Joel's all about the players. I don't care. I'm not on either your side. You both suck. And the fact that you're doing this now when people who are out of work, who are trying to get jobs back, whose families are falling apart, you're going to tell me people suffer all the time? Dude, really? You're just a dickweed. Stop with those. You guys really should think about what you're texting before you text in today, because there ain't a lot of thinking going on behind that. Quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!